It's Thursday, and that's the day we read from your email.
And off we go with letters about pilot Ben Berman's story. He was one of the many airline employees furloughed after September 11th, and as we heard, he's back on the job.
I absolutely loved the piece, writes Jay Johnson of Charlotte, North Carolina. My two sons, who are 10 and 12, sat captivated by Berman's story. He drew us in. We could really feel his excitement and love for flying. We wish him well.
Catherine Churchill of Houston, Texas, says she works with Berman at Continental Airlines. She writes, Ben's story brought back fresh memories of the hard days following 9/11, in particular, sobbing uncontrollably, along with one of my fellow managers, after we finished terminating a series of fine people with many wonderful years of service. None of us will ever be quite the same after 9/11.
We sent one listener scrambling after she heard an erroneous detail in our story about a new ban on carrying cigarette lighters onto planes. We said nail clippers were also on the list of banned carry-on items. According to the Transportation Security Administration, that is not the case.
I went into air travel paranoia mode, writes Jennifer Moulton of Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Knowing I would be flying the next day and desperately needing to cut my nails, I found myself frantically lopping off my fingernails in the middle of the night after packing my bags.
Jennifer, our apologies.
We received a number of sympathetic notes about our series on aging jazz musicians, including this one from Scott Lawrence of Ellicott City, Maryland.
He writes, My father is a great jazz musician. His health is rapidly declining, and he has no material wealth. Like Frank Foster, one of the players featured in your series, my father did not expect to live beyond 40, and after that point, he felt as though he was indestructible. It is baffling how individuals could have so much creativity, intellect, and instinct, and still be unable to predict their own peril. If you want to know how to cure cancer, just teach the cells to play jazz, and they just might starve to death.
Barry Best of North Kingstown, Rhode Island, writes to take issue with one part of our series. He says, The reason the musicians in your story face retirement without Social Security or Medicare is not because they were paid in cash, as you said. It is because when they were paid in cash, they did not report it and never paid any taxes. He continues, ignoring the connection between the choice of a life in the cash economy and the very predictable consequences which follow is an important oversight in a serious discussion of this topic.
And finally, a clarification to our story about Your Hit Parade.
Tonight, Lucky Strike presents Your Hit Parade.
The series featured cover versions of popular songs in the 1930s, 40s, and 50s.
Hey baby, what do I have to do to make a hit with you?
You gotta dance with me, Henry.
All right, baby.
We said that this song, Dance With Me, Henry, was a commercialized cover of Etta James' R&B tune, Work With Me, Annie.
Listener Todd Mason says that's not the case. He writes that the title of the original was Roll With Me, Henry.
Well, John McDonough, who reported the story, did a little digging into the clouded history of this blues number, and he concedes that Mason has it right. But it's complicated. Dance With Me, Henry had several authors, Johnny Otis, Hank Ballard, and Etta James. Depending on who was singing it, the dance partner was either Henry or Annie. To make matters more complicated, one version just called the tune Wallflower.
Send your emails to atc@npr.org. And please remember to tell us where you live and how you pronounce your name.
I got to roll with me, Henry.